Thanks for the introduction. Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about a part of my dissertation research, which is related to constructing a high-density genetic map of Napier grass. Napier grass is also known as elephant grass, and it is a tropical perennial C4 grass that originated in Central and East Africa. It grows on a wide range of soils and habitats, and it is an allotetraploid consisting of 28 chromosomes. The A prime genome of elephant grass is homologous to the A genome of pearl millet, and these two species can be naturally hybridized in order to get triploid hybrids called PMN hybrids. So the basic use of Napier grass has been to use as a forest, where most of it has been used in Africa and in Asia for dairy farmers, and these smallholder farmers use it basically as a cotton carry based forest. However, because it has a very high biomass yield, it can be used as a potential biofuel crop in the United States. Here's a graph showing you the peak dry matter yield in tons per hectare for different sources of bioenergy crops. You can see that elephant grass is on the most right-hand side with a very high biomass, even reaching up to 80 tons per hectare. And compared to sorghum, switchgrass, or miscanthus, this biomass yield is quite high. So the potential of using Napier grass as a bioenergy crop is very good. However, there are some issues related to its commercial application because of some biosafety issues. Napier grass produces small wind-dispersed seeds, so the genotypes that flower early and produce abundant seeds, they have a very high potential for invasiveness. Therefore, elephant grass has been listed as an invasive species in Florida by the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. In order to breed for very good varieties for Napier grass, the desirable traits are those that flower late so that they can be harvested before flowering. And also, if the seed formation is compromised by low temperatures during November and December, these type of genotypes could be very good potential for bioenergy sources. However, the breeding of Napier grass for this, any type of desirable traits to be utilized by the breeding community has been lagging mostly because there is very little genetic information available for Napier grass. There have been some studies done with AFLP and SSR markers designed on pearl millet genome that have been used to study on the diversity of Napier grass, but utilizing those markers for marker-assisted selection hasn't been done. And there is also no genetic map ever constructed for Napier grass, and we also don't have a reference genome available. Okay, these are the main reasons why molecular tools haven't been deployed in breeding programs for improving Napier grass. And the objective of my research is to address some of these issues. So the objectives of this research was to construct a high-density genetic map of Napier grass, to investigate genomic and genetic architecture of Napier grass, and to compare the different software that can be used for SNP calling in Napier grass. So the methods for this research can be broadly divided into three different topics. The first one is development of a mapping population, moving into genotyping of the mapping population, and then data analysis comprising of comparative genomics and linkage map construction. For the development of mapping population, we use two contrasting parents of Napier grass. Here, in the figure, you can see N190, the female parent. It is a very late flowering line, and it has a reduced number of thick tillers, and it produces a high biomass, but it is not very persistent. On the other hand, if you look at the plants on the right-hand side, this N122, this was the male parent, and it flowers relatively earlier, and it has many number of tillers with thin stalks. So we made a cross between these two lines to generate F1 hybrids, and we had 185 F1 hybrids. Since Napier grass is an outcrossing species, we use these F1 hybrids as a pseudo F2 population in order to construct the linkage map. So from these 185 F1 hybrids, we collected DNA samples, and we collected the leaf samples and then stored them in negative 80 degrees Celsius until DNA extraction. DNA extraction was done by following De La Porta protocol. And after the DNA was extracted, we confirmed that all these hybrids were in fact true hybrids using SSR markers. So once we have those genotypes confirmed for being true hybrids, then these samples were submitted to Cornell University for genotyping by sequencing. We used PST1 as the restriction enzyme for digestion, and we sequenced on two lengths of Illumina, and the total number of reads, raw reads that we got was 558 million of 100 base pair reads, and the average number of reads per sample was 2.9 million. Now I'd like to move into data analysis and results. So for the first part of comparative genomics, we extracted 695,000 unique tags from using Tassel software, and I used CDHIT in order to cluster those tags into 182,000 unique tags. And these unique tags of Napier Grass were then compared to 10 different genomes using BLAST. Here is a brief summary of the results with the BLAST. You can see that on the top right column, I show you the percentage of tags with BLAST hits in percentage. So the range was quite high, ranging from 0.07% for Arabidopsis thaliana to 37.93% for Penicetum glaucum or permillate. So it shows that these two have a very high level of similarity. And therefore, we also use this perlmillet genome in our, as a reference for SNP calling in our approach, in our SNP calling approaches. So basically, for SNP calling, I use two different approaches. One is de novo approach, where we didn't use any reference genome. So for de novo approach, there are three softwares that are available to call SNPs. They are Tassel Unic, Stax De Novo, and GBS SNPcrop. And for the reference-based approach, we used the genome of perlmillet as a reference for SNP calling, and there were six different softwares that were able to use a reference map, a reference genome, and then call a SNP. So these six software were Tassel, Stax, SamTools, GATK, FreeBSS, and GBS SNPcrop. So I did like a SNP calling using all of these softwares on the genotyping by sequencing data that we had. And for the construction of linkage map, I used JoinMap 4.0, and the markers were grouped using a LOD score of 16 using a regression mapping algorithm, and the recombination frequencies were converted into centimorgan distances using Cosambi function. And on the right-hand side, I show you the genetic map of Napier Grass. So on the x-axis, I should say, there are 1 to 14, meaning there are 14 linkage groups of Napier Grass, and on the x-axis is the unit in centimorgans. And each black bar there represents one GBS SNP marker. So in total, we had 14 linkage groups, and in those linkage groups, we were able to group 3,644 SNP markers. Out of the group markers, only 1,917 markers were mapped on the linkage map, and the total length of the combined map was 1,473 centimorgan. This linkage map is quite dense. You can see that we have one marker every 0.76 centimorgan. And also the markers are uniformly distributed because the gaps that intermarker distance that is less than 5 centimorgan is for more than 97% of the SNP markers. So you can see that for most of the linkage groups, these SNP markers are evenly spaced. Moving on to the different softwares that that call SNPs and a comparison of them. Here I'm showing you on the left column is the name of the software. There are three softwares that were used for de novo: GBS SNPcrop, Stax De Novo, and Tassel De Novo Unique. And the rest of them use the reference genome. And on the first column, I have number of SNPs called. So for our data, GATK called the highest number of SNPs. But moving on to the second column, the total number of SNPs that were usable for the for constructing genetic map was highest from SamTools. And in the third column, you can see that the number of SNPs that were actually present in the final map was highest in Tassel De Novo Unique pipeline, with having 60% of the markers in the linkage map coming from the Unique pipeline. So it shows that the Tassel De Novo Unique pipeline retained the highest number of SNPs on the genetic maps, followed by Stax. Now moving on to the comparison of these mapped markers with perlmillet. So the 1,163 de novo unique tags that were mapped on the linkage groups, we compared them with the genome of pearl millet. Out of that, 691 tags had significant blast hits. And here on the circles plot, I show you from linkage group LZ1 to 14, colored in green, are the linkage groups for Napier grass. And the pearl millet chromosome, 7 chromosomes of pearl millet are shown with starting with PZ1 to PZ7, and with all different types of colors. And you can see that there is a considerable collinearity between the genomes of Napier grass and pearl millet. And in this figure, I'm showing you a dot plot of these blast hits. So on the x-axis are the 7 chromosomes of pearl millet, and on the y-axis are the Napier grass linkage groups. So what it is showing is that for if you look at every pearl millet chromosome, you can see that there are at least 2 corresponding regions from the Napier grass genome. So moving ahead with the conclusion, we saw that the tags of Napier grass showed a high collinearity to pearl millet genome. A high density genetic map of Napier grass could be constructed using genotyping by sequencing. The genetic map we constructed had 1,917 SNP markers that we were able to group into 14 linkage groups, and the total length of the linkage map was 1,473 centimorgan. The density of the linkage map was quite high. We had one marker every 0.76 centimorgan. And for the different softwares that were used, TASL De Novo Unique Pipeline retained the highest number of SNPs on the genetic map, followed by STAX. And for most of the pearl millet chromosome, we saw that there were at least 2 corresponding regions on the Napier grass genome. With that being said, I'd like to acknowledge the Plant Breeding Initiative at University of Florida and Plant Breeders Work Group at UF for funding and for support to do this research. And I'd also like to thank the colleagues in Dr. Jianping Wang's lab and Dr. Freddy Alpeter's lab at UF. With that being said, I'm open to any questions that you might have. Thank you. Yes.
You are using stewardy of the population for constructing the linkage map. And you mentioned you used around 1900 submission markers.
Mm-hmm.
Were all those markers heterozygous, or what kind of markers did you use?
Right, thank you. That's a good question. So the question was, what type of markers were used during the construction of a genetic map? So since this is a pseudo-F2 population, I first made a separate map for the male parent and then a separate map for a female parent using one homozygous and one heterozygote for each parent. And then using the remaining heterozygote markers in both parents, we were able to merge those two parental linkage maps together into the final combined map. So we use basically all 3 types of markers. Did I answer your question?
Any other questions?
Yes.
So what is the next step in the project? How do we identify these SNPs? What, because the original concern was on flowering and invasiveness, how does this help in that project?
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. So the question is, what's the future of this research? So now we have a genetic map, so which means that we know that on the linkage groups, we know that which SNP marker goes at which position. So now moving forward, what we can do is we have phenotyped the mapping population that we used for different traits, including flowering time. So now we can look into the genetic map and we can look into the association of those traits with the markers and then identify the regions on the linkage group, which are very closely associated with that trait. So for example, we'll find QTLs for flowering time in Napier grass, and then we can use these markers then along in the future in order to be able to select for plants that are early flowering or late flowering. So it will potentially help in the future after QTL analysis is done and we have identified proper markers for specific traits, then we can then use those markers in a marker-assisted selection breeding program.
Thank you.